The FBI will channel more people and more resources into its Pittsburgh office. It is a reward for the cybersecurity team there that's credited with catching five Chinese military leaders stealing trade secrets and a Russian-based cyber crime ring that stole about $100 million from banks around the world. Michael McCone is supervisory special agent for the Associate Division Counsel, part of the FBI Cyber Initiative and Resource Fusion Unit based in Pittsburgh. He is part of the cybersecurity effort that earned the extra resources. And I congratulate you, Mike, and thank you for coming on the program this afternoon. What does this influx of resources mean for your operation? I understand it's hard to speak to specifics, but overall, what kind of a boost do you expect to get, Mike?
Well, I believe we're going to get a number of new agents, particularly ones with a cyber background, and a number of analysts, intelligence analysts in particular, that will help us tackle both a domestic and international cybercrime problem. So I think their expertise will certainly lend a great hand for the, unfortunately, only growing cyber problem.
And the part of the problem of the growing cyber problem, when you divide it up, is that it's splintered, I think, in so many different ways over the past half decade to decade. How is that the need for a variety of different specialties and skill sets and backgrounds, how is that making your job easier or more difficult to find the talent that you need to take these jobs?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one would be we're competing against the private sector, obviously, for talented individuals. So we're trying to make it more exciting, a great career path. So that's one thing. Second, back to your question or statement about the different types of cybercrime, it cuts across a number of different areas. Antivirus, viruses, botnets, point-of-sale malware, data breaches themselves. So there's a lot to look at the crime problem. And then we also have to analyze who is doing it and why are they doing it. So is it hacktivism? Is it trying to get notoriety? Are they trying to shut down a business for profit or for notoriety with distributed denial of service attacks? So there's a number of different reasons for that, and therefore the need for more agents and analysts to look at the problem both domestically and internationally.
Has attribution of either perpetration or motivation gotten easier or harder over the years, Mike?
I will say I think it has changed our way of looking at it, that this is not singular to the FBI or to U.S. law enforcement. So we've done a number of things to work with our international counterparts. I just actually got back yesterday from London, and so we're interacting with our international partners on the law enforcement front, but also the industrial front in terms of the folks that are running the internet backbone, the folks that are most going to be affected by this in the financial and telecommunications sector. So we're getting a lot of input from them about the crime problems that are hitting them, but also their expertise. We're finding new ways to tackle these problems and leveraging the subject matter experts that already exist out in industry and academia.
I think most people from the outside of the government world, if they looked in, they would say, Pittsburgh's a heck of a place to have this. I know it's not formally called a center of excellence, but your track record certainly indicates that's what you've got there. How do you think, what do you think the progression of events was like that led to you having this success where you're located and not being in a location like maybe D.C. or New York City where people would think, well, that's a likely place that a federal government law enforcement office would be having a lot of success?
Well, I have to, I guess, initially credit the Carnegie Mellon CERT program and what they developed there through dealing with cyber crimes dating back to 1988 and then building from that. So our local Pittsburgh field office had developed a relationship with CMU and specifically the CERT program out there, and that grew over the years, and then we realized in part through that we needed to have a hub where we could bring in more industry partners and share information in a more real-time environment. So that's what led to the spinoff. We have a nonprofit partner where I'm physically co-located with called the National Cyber Forensics and Training Alliance, and that allows subject matter experts from a number of different companies to sit down the hall from not only myself with the FBI, but HSI agents, Secret Service agents, Customs Border Patrol agents. So we all have the ability to walk down the hall and talk to technical folks from several banks, several large retail organizations, so that we can get real-time interaction, but also over time build a trusted relationship between those industry partners and even more specifically with the subject matter experts who know their business sector the best.
I mentioned a couple of moments ago, Mike, that your office was responsible for busting the Chinese army intelligence officials that stole trade secrets and the Russian-led hacking ring. Tell me about those success stories and the specific reasons that those cases were so high profile, so important, and otherwise noteworthy.
Well, a couple things. I'll kind of break them apart.
Sure.
First, I'll talk about the Chinese military officials, and that's largely a credit to the Pittsburgh field office here and several of the case agents, and most notably the supervisor, Keith Malarski, and a couple other folks here working that matter along with the Department of Justice. And I believe the idea was to look at companies, especially here in the Western District of PA, that were affected by this hacking, in essence, for profit. And so how do we be more forthright in who is doing the hacking? So I think that was the first consideration for the indictment of the five Chinese military officials. Second, what I'm a little bit more familiar with is the Game Over Zeus crypto locker investigation, which our Pittsburgh division, our Omaha division, and our Washington field office were involved in, and we helped in large part with the coordination of the mitigation efforts. So it was a twofold effort in terms of trying to go after the bad guys, most notably one of the gentlemen that is a wanted figure for us, Evgeny Bogachev, but as well looking at the infrastructure that the botnet was using and how do we help to dismantle that. So not only did we want to try and take out one of the main actors, and there are several others as well, but looking at the infrastructure and if we didn't also try to dismantle the infrastructure that was used to steal millions of dollars over a number of years, then somebody else could simply step in behind that. So it's not just apprehending the bad guys, which is our first and foremost focus, but it's also how do we mitigate this? And with that, the infrastructure that we have here for our unit, our cyber division unit, but based in Pittsburgh, allowed us to quickly and easily bring together partners from the antivirus community, the ISPs, the internet governance groups. So we were able to, and I should say also say HSI and in particular US CERT, helped to clean up a number of machines domestically and internationally. So I think the combined effort was great, but we have to look at it in the big picture of if we're taking out bad guys, do we leave the infrastructure behind and therefore millions of infected people? So I think to your earlier question, we have to look at it from not just putting the bad guys in jail, but what's left behind? Can we, as best we can, clean up the internet?
Mike, we just have a couple of minutes left. How do you see the threat landscape changing and evolving in the next year to 5 years?
I think two things. Number one, I know I keep saying it, but it's a global cybercrime problem. What's affecting other countries around the world? If they're not affecting us now, they probably will. They'll evolve to us, or vice versa. So we're doing a lot to inform our international law enforcement partners as well as industry partners about this proactively, and they in turn will bring problems to our attention. So addressing it on a global level is important because it's become unfortunately too easy for somebody sitting in a remote location to defraud people, conduct denial of service attacks, and then second, as we become more mobile, meaning mobile phones, I think that's where an area where we'll see a lot of growth in mobile malware, the targeting of mobile phones. But that's simply, I think, an offshoot of the number of folks that have mobile phones. As smartphone capability grows, that's just an attractive market for fraudsters.